You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
The Razorbacks will practice again in pads on Friday, and then they will go through their first scrimmage on Saturday afternoon inside Razorback Stadium. Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph of BullHogSports.com today. And you know, we'll start off with just kind of our takeaways from the first practice with pads of the preseason. One of the big notes that came out of practice was that Marcus Miller, the defensive tackle for the Razorbacks, he's going to be out for the rest of the preseason. He had a knee scope this week, so he's not going to be practicing for the rest of preseason camp. The Razorbacks have made an addition to their roster, and they have brought Logan Horst on to the camp roster. Horst is a 6'4", 255-pound redshirt senior from Salina, Kansas. He transferred to Arkansas from Nebraska Wesleyan. He'll take Miller's roster spot for the rest of the preseason. Then, of course, rosters will expand when the preseason is over as the Razorbacks get ready for the Cincinnati game. Sam Pittman said that Miller should be back by the first day of classes. That would be the first practice after camp ends. And he indicated that he thought Miller might be able to play in the Cincinnati game on September the 3rd. Of course, that's big news because interior defensive line depth, Andrew, has been an issue for this team. And you don't want to see anybody, you know, get hurt, but, you know, especially where those positions are thin, that's something that's at least worth watching.
The defensive tackle spot is clearly a position where they're lacking in numbers, but I think what they're lacking in numbers, Sam Pittman's trying to make up for in quality. When they're getting the progression out of Isaiah Nichols, who I believe is going to be the number one guy in the three-man front. But a guy he talked up a lot today was Terry Hampton, and I believe he even said that he's been a blessing, and he's really going to play a lot of ball for them. And the transfer from Arkansas State is someone I'm looking forward to see as the season goes on.
Yeah, that was in a response to a question I asked if there's been anything that he's learned about his team. And he said Terry Hampton can really play for him. So, you know, they weren't sure. They thought he could. Obviously, they wouldn't have picked him up out of the transfer portal if they didn't. But they didn't have him in spring ball. And they've been pleasantly surprised with what Hampton has given them in the middle. And like you said, Isaiah Nichols has really been good for them this year and is expected to be the leader at that position with Torian Carter out potentially for the entire season. Just some notes that I made here as I was watching practice today. I thought it was interesting to see the cross training in the offensive line. You know, Tykeus Crawford has been practicing at right tackle, but there was a time today where they had basically first team linemen working together outside of what the first team line would look like, if that makes sense. It's the first team personnel, but none of them were at their position that they're expected to start at. Crawford was working with that line at right tackle. Dalton Wagner was not in there during this portion of practice. Bo Lemmer was playing center. Of course, Lemmer, you know, is going to be their right guard. Ricky Stromberg, who is going to be their starting center, he was practicing at right guard. Of course, Stromberg played some guard early in his career at Arkansas. Luke Jones, who will probably be the left tackle, was playing left guard today. Of course, he and Brady Latham were in a position battle for left guard for much of last season, and Latham, who will be the left guard this year, was playing left tackle. So I hope that's not too confusing for people, but basically, you know, they're cross-training linemen because, you know, we saw this, Andrew, last year when they had some injuries to multiple people on their offensive line. You know, you would see guys move out of what would be kind of their natural position. Ty Clary is a perfect example of, you know, that plug-and-play lineman that they had last year. It's so important to cross-train your offensive line because you just never know what's going to happen, and that's one of those positions, especially where, you know, I think injuries are going to happen during the season.
Yeah, and to your point on the cross-training, I think they put such an emphasis on it because it's not only going to help them cover all their bases and stretch their depth right now, but it's also going to help these young guys develop for the future. And Amarian Harris is a perfect example, who they brought in to play tackle, but getting some looks at guard, and not necessarily because that's where he's going to play for them this season, but when his number is called and he's available to play in either of those two spots, it's going to help out the overall offensive line depth.
I was interested to watch some inside run drill today. I was paying more attention to personnel than I was what was actually happening in those run drills. They weren't tackled to the ground today. That's something that'll come as camp progresses. Of course, probably happen tomorrow as they get ready for the Saturday scrimmage. It was interesting to see, though, in their 4-3 set defensively with their first team defense. Of course, Bumper Pool is going to be their middle linebacker. Drew Sanders, we know, is going to be on the field a lot. Other outside linebacker was Chris Paul. This is a player who's missed a little bit of practice time, at least one day already this preseason. But, you know, it seems obvious that Chris Paul and Jackson Woodard, we talked about him yesterday, those two are going to get on the field quite a bit at the linebacker position.
Yeah, I was filming the linebackers for a substantial amount of time today, and Sanders and Bumper Pool were obviously the first two to go through the drills and set the tone. But then you would see Poo Paul and Jackson Woodard, the guys you just mentioned, were first in line to follow them. And there wasn't much of a drop off in terms of effort and quality in the drills that they were doing.
My favorite soundbite of the day was Deke Adams, the defensive line coach. He was going through a drill with his players, and basically he didn't like how a defensive lineman came out of his break, and he stopped the drill and he yelled, "We won't let a tight end rock us. That's unacceptable." I think Deke Adams has become my favorite quote, at least in terms of listening to him teach his linemen.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only the wisdom that he presents, but he's got a commanding voice. And I think he really draws the attention from his position group, not only the way that he speaks to them, but the emphasis that he puts on the details.
Some plays that stood out to me this afternoon. You had, this was in not quite goal line. I would call it more intermediate red zone work. I think basically they were taking snaps from somewhere around the 10 to 15 yard line, and then they were throwing routes into the end zone. Basically, you would have a receiver and a defensive back going one-on-one with each other. That was a drill that really caught my eye late in the portion of practice that we were able to watch. KJ Jefferson threw a really nice pass to Jaden Wilson in front of Ladarius Bishop, and Wilson made a great catch as Bishop had his hand on the ball, was trying to rip it away, and Wilson really showed good, strong hands and kept it to his body. I saw a portion where Landon Rogers dropped a pass from Malik Hornsby. It was a perfect pass, and he just dropped it in the end zone. That cost Landon Rogers a lot of push-ups. He had to go off to the side and kind of pay his price for dropping that pass. It was a great throw by Hornsby, and we've seen Hornsby really throw the ball, I think, a lot more crisp this preseason than he did a year ago. A couple of pass breakups during that drill. You had Jalen Catalon break one up on a pass to Jaden Hazelwood, and Hazelwood gave him his kudos a couple of times after Catalon got his hands in there and knocked down. Really nice pass breakup on a pass, and I didn't write down who the receiver was. I didn't catch that, but Dwight McLaughlin had probably the best pass breakup that I noticed during that drill. And then there were a couple of times where we saw Warren Thompson make some catches on, or at least in one instance, it was against Hudson Clark, and Hudson Clark kind of sold out, dove after the ball, missed it, and Thompson showed good hands. The consistency with his hands has really been the question about Thompson.
Yeah, that portion of practice was definitely the most entertaining to watch, and I think it's mainly because we don't get to see them do the one-on-ones. We get to see them run the receivers run routes on air, which isn't nearly as exciting, and you can't learn near as much from that. But some of the takeaways, I had some of the same thoughts you did. I also, the one-on-one between Catalon and Satania, I thought was interesting because Catalon pressed him really hard right off the line of scrimmage, and it was kind of a point of emphasis that he was going to do that. And you can tell that Satania wasn't a fan of the physicality, but I thought that was an interesting battle when Satania continued to finish the rep and make the catch. And you mentioned Dwight McLaughlin. He had one of his pass breakups was on a throw to Keetron Jackson, and Keetron Jackson came away really frustrated after McLaughlin got in front of him, and McLaughlin kind of was in his face about it afterwards. So he's not a guy that lacks for confidence, and clearly wasn't lacking for skill today either. And then the other guy that I was excited to see was Matt Landers, because we've heard a lot about his speed and how hard he's been to cover, but a lot of that could be just because they haven't been in full pads, and it's easier to run at full speed when you're not wearing those heavy pads. So I wanted to see how that translated today, and he took a little three-step slant and dusted Malik Chavis right across his face for an easy touchdown in that portion of the drill as well.
Yeah, you know, Landers, you know, you hear everybody talk about his speed, but it's interesting when you're out there kind of next to him, just how big he is. You just, it's an interesting combination of size and speed with Matt Landers that adds some intrigue. You know, Satania, he didn't see that type of physicality in the 7A West. You know, Harbor wasn't getting into his face quite like Jalen Catalon is going to be able to. And with Isaiah, you know, he this is a much different time for him than I think it is for other players, because I mean, obviously it's an important time for everybody, but he didn't go through spring ball. And so there's kind of a, I don't know, maybe more of a learning curve that I think he's going through. But, you know, we heard Sam Pittman talk quite a bit about him unsolicited in his press conference after this practice. And the feeling that I get is that they really like what they're getting from Isaiah Satania. Now, Pittman said he's going to be a really good receiver. He said, I don't know if that's going to be by the Cincinnati game. I don't know if that's going to be next year, but we think that he can really play for us. Mentioned that he had a touchdown catch in one of their drills today. I didn't see it, so it must have been after we left practice. I did notice that in one of the position drills for the receivers, really nice back shoulder throw to Satania. I didn't see who threw it, but he made a nice job getting his feet down and catching the ball in front of the pylon, you know, what would have been a touchdown catch. And his position coach was really happy with him about that catch during that drill. You know, I said that Adams had my favorite quote of the day. I did overhear a couple of offensive linemen talking after they had gone through a drill against the defensive line, and they were talking about Dorian Gerald, and one of the older, I'm not going to identify who these players were, but one of the older linemen told one of the younger linemen, said, Dorian Gerald is a guy who will get off the ball. He will bleep and blast you. And so I thought that was kind of interesting to hear that conversation between those two. We mentioned that Sam Pittman spoke after the practice. We're going to play some of the highlights from his post-practice press conference now, and we'll start with just his overall thoughts on the day.
All I want to do is tell the truth, you know, and I do, and it's hard for me sometimes on injuries and things of that nature. I get it, but if we had a terrible practice, I'd say it, but this was a wonderful practice. I mean, we did a lot of things. We got a lot of things accomplished. It was our first day in full pads. We did third and one. We had a low red area. We did goal line situation. We did two-point conversion prep today. Team run, just a lot of things. It was a loaded practice, physical practice. We did pocket pass protection. You know, 2 days ago, I thought we really had some good individual linebacker, running back drills in pass protection. I think it helped us tremendously on both sides of the ball. We had the tight ends and the D ends doing the same thing. Of course, the O-line, D-line were working one-on-ones at that point, but I think it really helped us. We were concerned a little bit about what you always are, field goal protection early in the year, and we had a individual period today in pods of tight ends and wings, interior and tight end wing on the other side. All those things, I thought our coaching staff did a wonderful job today of preparing that. But the kids, you know, took advantage of their day off, and they really had a good, really a good spirited understanding how to practice against each other. For the most part, doing a really good job of staying out.
Pittman was also asked about the injury to Marcus Miller and how that affects his unit at the defensive tackle position, and this is what he had to say.
The thing about that is, you know, we can move Gregory inside, which you guys been out there. We've done that a little bit. So you have him and Nick. And then I tell you who's coming on a little bit is Nico Davier. We've moved because of these injuries. We've moved him inside, and he's done a nice job. Terry Hampton's been a blessing for us. I mean, he's really done a nice job in there. I think it'll benefit us whenever all those guys come back. But Cam was playing well through three practices. I think it was practice three. He went through the whole practice and then had the situation after the practice. But, you know, those injuries there last, I don't know how long, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10 days. And that's all three of them. You know, so I'm really concerned about why we would have that happen at this point with skull caps and all that stuff. But we didn't have three in spring ball. So, no, I know it's concerning.
Later in the press conference, Pittman was asked about Jaden Hazelwood being a vocal leader for the Razorbacks, which Kenny Guyton had mentioned earlier this week.
You know, he's been around the game for a long time. I would think it'd be kind of hard. Now, Felipe did it, but he did it because he was a quarterback, you know, or part of it because he was a quarterback. You have to. But being a vocal leader for a transfer guy, I think at times would be hard early. Now it was hard for him early because he was, you know, in spring ball and trying to get the feel of everybody and all that. But I think he is vocal because it puts pressure on himself. I think he means what it says. What he says, I don't mean that, but I think he's a guy that if he says it, he got to back it up. In other words, hey, we have to do this. We have to do this. Have to be well. If the guy's saying it, he's the one's got to do it because I'm saying it. And I think he likes putting pressure on himself. He likes helping the team, but I think he enjoys pressure.
Arkansas is ranked number 23 in the coaches poll earlier this week. Sam Pittman is one of 66 Division I head coaches who vote in that poll. I asked him if it's difficult to be objective about voting for your team and just to give us some insight about how he puts his preseason poll together.
No, it's really not. I mean, I look down in there and kind of figure out, you know, where I think we fit and put it in there. It's hard preseason. I mean, because it's hard to tell who's going to have a good team, who's not, and all those things. You're just going off of returners and transfers and all that. And you don't always have to have the best players. You just have to have the best team on a Saturday. And that's really where the polls get all jacked up, because polls a lot in the preseason are off of this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy, and not primarily off of the entire football team.
Your offensive skill positions look a lot faster the last couple of years. I wonder how much this freshman and sophomore classes have – how much would you say they've contributed to improving the overall
speed? Well, I think they're still working at it. You know, Jaden Wilson and Keetron Jackson are two guys that kind of stick out, you know, right there. And but I've said it before, I like the young three that, you know, came in with Satayden and McAdoo and Bakke. You know, I like those three guys, and Bryce Stevens is a year older than them. But I think we've hit on those guys. And this group of three that we have at wideout, and, of course, you're talking about DeBinion, too, in a skill position, who Tyrus Washington, those guys are all going to be really good players. But those three wideouts that we have learned so much faster than the guys before them. And that Keetron then won't mind me telling, because I talked about it to them. But these guys like Mac and Satayden, Bakke and Satayden weren't here in the spring. And to be where they're at mentally after six practices is kind of incredible, because we're not slowing the installation down for the freshmen that came in. I can promise you that.
If you want to catch all of Sam Pittman's press conference, you can go to our website, wholehogsports.com, or you can find it on our YouTube page. Just search Whole Hog Sports on YouTube.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Every day on the preseason Whole Hog Football Podcast, we'll take a deeper look at a different position. Today we're going to talk about wide receivers. Mentioned earlier that Kenny Guyton and a couple of the Razorbacks receivers came in and spoke with us earlier in the week. This is an interesting position. Tom Murphy wrote a position analysis about the receivers, and he made a great point that they lose all of this production. They lose, you know, like 78% of their catches, 80% of their yards. Of course, Treylon Burks is gone. There are others who are gone from the passing game. But yet there's a lot of intrigue, Andrew, about this position. And it seems like, and I was talking with someone earlier this week, and, you know, they kind of were talking about their own receiver situation. It wasn't somebody with Arkansas, but, you know, it's where they're trying to replace a top flight receiver like Arkansas is trying to replace with Burks. And they said that they're taking kind of a money ball approach to it, that you're not going to do it with one player. You're going to have to figure it out with multiple players. And I think that's what we're going to see with Arkansas this year, is that you're not going to have a Treylon Burks on this year's roster. And if you do, you know, that's great. But, you know, from kind of the 30,000 feet view of this, there's probably not another Treylon Burks on this roster unless someone just really, you know, blossoms this season. And so it's going to have to be kind of an effort of a Jaden Hazelwood and a Matt Landers and a Keetron Jackson to really fill that type of production that Burks gave them a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at the Razorback receiver room, it's just full of untapped potential because of these young guys that they're bringing in, the three freshmen that Ken Guyton said that they think they hit on all three freshmen, and they've all shown flashes in the preseason so far. And then the two guys in Matt Landers and Jaden Hazelwood have also looked like bona fide SEC receivers so far. But your two returning guys haven't, to this point, have not done much in Warren Thompson and Keetron Jackson. I think they combined for somewhere around 20 catches total last season. And so you're going to need those two veteran guys to step up and lead that room, I think. But I think that the talent is there, and what they get out of it will have to do more with the player development aspect.
I think everybody believes Hazelwood is going to be the leader of the receiver group. Now, that might not mean that he puts up the best numbers, but just from a, you know, a vocal leadership, like what we heard Sam Pittman talking about earlier, Kenny Guyton had mentioned that earlier this week too, that that Hazelwood's really jumped in and taken, you know, hold of that group. He led Oklahoma in receptions a year ago. He led Oklahoma, or at least was tied for the team lead in touchdowns. That's a big time program. That's a, you know, an offense that obviously is going to throw the ball around a lot, probably more than Arkansas will. But I think the expectation is there, or at least should be there, that Jaden Hazelwood's going to be the one from a production standpoint that's going to lead this receiver group. And then, you know, maybe Matt Landers would be the one that, if it's not Hazelwood, Landers is who you would potentially turn toward because of his track record. You know, he played at Georgia, didn't have a great, you know, career at Georgia, went to Toledo last year, really kind of broke out in that offense. And now he comes into Arkansas as an older player, where I think playing time is going to be plentiful for him, not only because of what Arkansas lost last year, but because of the way that he's practiced.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Landers. I think I read something the other day that he led the FBS in 80-plus yard catches. I think he had three of them last year for Toledo. And so he's clearly a proven deep threat with elite speed. And I think elite speed is a trend in that Razorback receiving room with Isaiah Satania, Bryce Stevens, Jaden Hazelwood. And clearly size and speed is what they've targeted in that receiving room. And that's what you're going to need to play in the SEC. And I think that the wheels on the guys that they've brought in is going to allow for an exciting offense.
You know, Pittman was talking in the press conference today that he's not bashful in public about saying that privately he has challenged Keetron Jackson to say that, you know, you didn't live up to what the expectations were for you in that first season. Jackson's one that, you know, by all indications, he's going to have a much better year than he had last season. And I think there's probably a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, certainly. He was one of the top recruits in his class last year, in the Razorbacks class last year. And he had maybe four or five catches, I think, last year total. He's easily going to double that number this season. I think he's going to be a guy that really steps up and becomes a household name for Razorback fans.
Bryce Stevens is another one who, you know, is back. And I think the key to this team, Jaden Wilson, is one who I think has shown some flashes during the portions of practice that we've been able to see. Those players are really going to be the ones, and I'm not saying those two in particular, but the returning players from last season are going to be the ones, I think, that will determine just how good this passing game is. How big of a step did they take from their first year to their second year, at least in this program? And that's really going to be the determining factor, I think, for how good the passing game goes for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Jaden Wilson. He was the one that caught that deep bomb on one of the first days of camp from Malik Hornsby for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And everyone kind of was like, whoa, who was that? And to Sam Pittman's point, the next day he was asked about that touchdown catch, and he said that he told Jaden Wilson that nobody knows who he is. And so, I mean, he hasn't done anything to this point, and so he needs to go out there and prove himself and announce himself to the world.
It was interesting to me to hear Pittman at SEC Media Days back in July. He referenced Jaden Wilson as being one of the six best receivers that they had. And I think out of all the names that he mentioned during that interview, the fact that he said Wilson was kind of the one that made our ears perk up a little bit more. Warren Thompson would fit into that group too. Of course, he's not a sophomore, but going from his first to his second year in this offense, had some big plays last year, had the touchdown against Alabama that I think everybody remembers, but he also had a lot of drops, kind of in particular on some deep passes that I think that, you know, I know they want to see that clear up. They want to see more consistency from Warren Thompson.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head with Warren Thompson. Consistency in his hands have always been the point of emphasis from the Razorback coaching staff. I think last year he made some of the hardest catches you'll ever see, and to follow it up by one of the easiest drops you'll ever see. And just if they can get him to kind of focus and to catch the ball before he starts thinking about taking off, I think he could be a real weapon for them.
You can go to WholeHogSports.com and read more about receivers. As we mentioned, Tom Murphy had a feature earlier this week, the wide receiver analysis. You can find that in all the position analysis on our website. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow to take one more look at the team ahead of this weekend's scrimmage. Till then, hope you'll visit us at our website. For Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. Have a great day, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.